We're going to look this morning at Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. How did you feel when you saw Jessica Ennis running the 10,000 meters at the end of the heptathlon? How did you feel when she was doing the long jump? How did you feel when she was doing the high jump? How did you feel when she was throwing the javelin? I don't know about you, but I thought, I wish I was fit as she is as fit. Some of us limped in here this morning because our limbs are feeble. Some of us have struggled to stand up for the hymns and songs because we've got arthritis. Some of us have strained our eyes to see the words on the screen or the small print in the hymn book. Some of us have found it difficult to sing because we have trouble with our breathing. Some of us adjusted our hearing aids when we came in to the induction loop system because we have trouble with our hearing. Our bodies are fairly weak, aren't they? Even the young person down at the gym every week with acute hearing and keen eyesight, even that fit young fellow, he knows times of illness and sickness. And one day, his body too will get weak and frail. Our bodies are rather frail. They were not made like that. When God first created man and woman, He gave them perfect bodies. Adam and Eve were totally athletic, with perfect bodies. No illness, no weariness, no disease, no deformity, no disability. Their bodies were perfect, totally fit, fearfully and wonderfully made. Think of the delicate nature of the human eye. Think of the intricacies of the human brain. Think of this amazing network we have of blood vessels, veins and arteries. Think of this wonderful network of nerves throughout our bodies. Our bodies, says the Bible, are fearfully and wonderfully made. But they've been spoiled by sin. When the first man and first woman sinned against God at the very beginning, it had devastating results. And one of the results was that disease and weakness and disability came into the world and affected human bodies. So now we have bodies which get weary and sick. They're still wonderful. In spite of the fall and all the ravages of sin, our bodies are still wonderful, wonderfully made. But they're weak, and they're subject to disease and sickness. And the older we get, the more weary and weak they become. Very well, the question we're going to consider this morning is this. What will happen? What will become of these bodies of ours? How will they end up? Will they just be put in the ground when we die and left to rot? Will they just be taken to the crematorium and consumed? These bodies, which God has so wonderfully made, but which sin has so awfully blighted, is there any future for them? Or will they just be annihilated when we die? That's what many people think today, that when you die, you're dead. That's it. Annihilation, nothing. Now, Paul answers this question for us in that 11th verse of Romans 8. He tells us that one day, the same God who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies and raise them from the dead. Let me remind you of how Paul came to write these words in Romans 8. His great concern in this 8th chapter of Romans is to show us that if we are Christians, our final and complete salvation is assured. He opens the chapter by saying, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And he closes the chapter by saying, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His aim throughout this chapter is to show these Christians in Rome that their final salvation is absolutely sure and certain. And this 11th verse is part of that theme. If the Spirit of God is in you, if you are a Christian, then the day is coming when your body will be raised from the dead. The day is coming when he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also raise your body from the dead. So here we have what is called the doctrine of the resurrection of the body. It is one of the most glorious truths of the Christian faith. But sad to say, many Christians are hazy and uncertain about it. And some Christians are almost totally ignorant of this truth. I have to confess that although I attended church all through childhood and youth, I knew nothing about this truth until I was 21 and a student at theological college. Not that we ever had lectures at that college on the resurrection of the body, because it was a very liberal, modernistic college, so we didn't have any lectures. But when, by God's grace, I came to an evangelical position in that college, one of the things I did was subscribe to something called the Westminster Record, which was something published by the Westminster Chapel. It contained every month a sermon by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And I used to get one of those Westminster Records every month and sort of devour the truth I was reading there. One month, there was a sermon there on the resurrection of the body. And that was the first time in my life that I'd ever been confronted with this glorious truth. And it thrilled me. It amazed me. I remember now. It came in the post that morning. I read it before breakfast, and I was so thrilled by it that I went and knocked up my fellow student next door, who was still asleep, and said, look, come and read this. This is great. This is wonderful. The doctrine of the resurrection of the body. We're mainly concerned this morning with the resurrection of the bodies of Christians. As I will show you later, the bodies of non-Christians will be raised too. They'll be raised to eternal misery and punishment. No doubt about that. But we're mainly concerned this morning with the resurrection of the bodies of believers, because that is what Paul deals with mainly in Romans 8, verse 11. One day, God will give life to our mortal bodies. Our bodies at present are dying. They're getting frailer every day. Death and decay is in them. That's the meaning of what Paul says in verse 10. The body is dead because of sin. That's a striking way of saying that because of original sin, because of the fall of man, death and decay is written into our very being. We're dying all the while. You say a new baby has been born. Praise God for that. But the moment someone is born, they begin to die. The aging process starts. But one day, God will raise our dead bodies from the grave. They'll be breathed life into them. Let me put it like this. If we are Christians, the moment we die, our souls, our spirits, our essential beings and personalities will depart and go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Jesus said to the dying, penitent thief on the cross, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So, our bodies will die. They'll be laid in the grave. Maybe drowned at the sea. Maybe blown apart in an explosion. But our souls will go to be with the Lord immediately the moment we die. But that's not the end of our body. It may be buried in the grave. May be burned at the crematorium. May be blown apart in an explosion. But one day, God will raise our mortal bodies. He'll breathe life into our mortal bodies and raise them from the dead. All the particles will come together again, just as our Lord's body was raised from the dead. God will raise our bodies. Now, this is not only the teaching of this particular verse, but it's the teaching of many passages of the Bible. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting shame and contempt. It's also the teaching of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All 58 verses of 1 Corinthians 15 deal with the resurrection of the body. It's also the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 5, verse 28. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good unto the resurrection of life, those who have done the evil to the resurrection of condemnation. This is the clear and unmistakable teaching of the Bible. Just as God raised the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ, so also he'll raise our bodies one day from the dead. Let's think about this for a while. First of all, the situation to which our bodies will be raised. Our bodies will be raised from the grave. But where to? Where's the situation to which they will be raised? At present, we live in this world of sin, this world of lust and violence. That's where our bodies are now. But to what kind of place will they be raised after we've died? There's only one answer to that, and it's a very glorious one. We'll be raised to eternal life in God's everlasting kingdom. I'm speaking about the resurrection of Christians. The non-Christian amongst you will be raised to endless misery and punishment in hell. But the Christian's body will be raised to live in God's eternal kingdom. Or to use the expression that Peter uses in 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll be raised to live in a new realm, new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. There's going to be a new heavens, a new earth, a new cosmos, a new realm where there is nothing but righteousness. This present world as we know it will come to an end. It's a world which has been blighted by sin. It's a world of catastrophes and calamities. It's a world of hurricanes and earthquakes and volcanoes, a world of war and famine, a world of thorns and thistles and starvation. It will all come to an end one day, and there'll be a new realm, a new earth, and a new heavens established by God. A realm of sheer perfection, a realm of exquisite beauty. That's the place to which our bodies will be raised one day. They'll be reunited with our souls, and together, soul and body, will live forever and forever in God's eternal kingdom, that perfect realm described in the Bible as the new heavens and the new earth. The moment we die as Christians, our souls, our real personalities, go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful. That's better than anything we've known here on earth. But that's not the climax. That's not the zenith. There's something beyond that even. One day our bodies will be raised, reunited with ourselves, And together, soul and body will live forever in God's eternal kingdom. It'll be a realm where there's no sin or evil of any kind. No vice, no violence, no vandalism, no war, no bloodshed, no crime, no abuse. It'll be a realm where there'll be no sorrow or grief or crying, no trials or tribulations, no heartaches, no headaches. It'll be a perfect realm. A realm of perfect peace and perfect happiness. And most of all, it'll be a realm where the Lord Jesus Christ lives and dwells. That's what makes glory so glorious. It'll be to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in that eternal realm. These feet of mine will walk the streets of that glorious realm. These lips of mine will sing the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ perfectly. That's the place. That's the situation to which our bodies will be raised. It will surpass, it will outshine anything we've ever imagined. The glory of winning gold at the Olympics will be completely surpassed by the glory of being there in God's eternal kingdom. So that's the situation to which we'll be raised. In addition, when our bodies are raised from the dead, they will never again do anything sinful. That sadly is what happens to us so often at the present. So often in this world, sin traps our bodies, and we do things with our bodies which are sinful. Our lips say things which are unkind and bitter and cruel. Our ears hear things. Our ears listen to all manner of iniquitous gossip. Our legs and our feet take us to places which are sinful and unworthy. Our hands do things which are sinful. Even the natural desires of our bodies are affected by sin. The desire for food is a good desire, but we turn that into gluttony. The desire for sleep is a good desire, but sin turns that into laziness. The desire to get on in the world, ambition, is a good desire. But sin turns that into, we don't care who sinks as long as we go on. So sin causes our bodies to do many things in this world which are evil. But in that world to come, our bodies will be free of all sin. Never again will our hands do anything sinful. Never again will our eyes see or gaze upon anything evil. Never again will our lips say things which are cruel and vicious. In that eternal realm, our bodies will be entirely free from sin. Remember that hymn we just sang? Sin, my worst enemy before, shall vex my eyes and ears no more. My inward foes shall all be slain, nor Satan break my peace again. It'll be a life free from all sin. Then our bodies, then, in that eternal realm, will be free of all sickness and disease. Free from all sickness and disease. At the present time, our bodies are subject to pain and weariness and sickness. The Bible says we have these lowly bodies, these bodies which are affected by sickness and pain. You see, When we talk about the resurrection of the bodies, some people may say, I'm not sure I want a body in the eternal realm. My body gives me so much trouble just now. I'm racked with pain. I'm racked with headaches. I'm racked with arthritis. I'm not sure I want a body throughout all eternity. But it will be a body free of all pain and free of all sickness. At the present time, our bodies are affected by sickness. Don't listen to those people who tell you that the Christian should never be sick. There are people like that who say to you, the Christian should never be sick. If you are sick, if you're in pain, it's a lack of faith for something. The Christian should never be sick. You'll find that many of those people who speak like that wear spectacles. You'll find that many of them have a fine set of dentures. A man once came to Carey Baptist Church in Reading, and he said to me, I've come to this church to teach the people here that they should all be healthy and wealthy. And as he said that, I could see his gold teeth flashing, you know. So I said to him, I can see the bit about wealthy. You know, your gold teeth tells me that you've got a bit of money, you know. But I can't see the bit about healthy. Surely if you've got replacement gold teeth, there must have been some decay in the first place. So I can't see the bit about healthy. It didn't get that, you know. But many of the people who talk about being healthy and wealthy have a perfect set of dentures, you know, they have a set of dentures and they have specs, and they're often done the doctor's surgery and all the rest of it. We don't have painless bodies in this world. Paul tells us in this passage, verse 23, that we are waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. We are waiting for that. We groan inwardly, waiting for our bodies to be perfect. Paul's teaching there that our souls are saved, our souls are forgiven, our souls have been released from the bondage of sin, but our bodies haven't yet been freed up from sickness and all the other ravages of sin. We're waiting for that. But when our bodies are raised from the dead, they'll be free of all sin, and they'll be free of all sickness, and they'll be free of all suffering. No more pain. No more struggling to hear. No more struggling to work, to walk. Bodies free from sickness and suffering. Then there'll be bodies which are suited for eternity. There'll be immortal bodies. Bodies capable of lasting forever and ever. Bodies which will never decay or die. At present, our bodies are mortal. Paul refers to them here as our mortal bodies. They're subject to death. They're dying. They're mortal bodies. But this body, when it's raised, will be immortal. It'll be eternal. It'll be suited for all eternity. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 15. The dead will be raised incorruptible, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You see, then, these resurrected bodies of believers will be free of all sickness, free from all sin, and suited for all eternity. In other words, there'll be bodies which are adapted and suited for life in that eternal, perfect realm. As I understand the teaching of 1 Corinthians 15, our resurrection bodies will be essentially the same bodies that we have now, but much more glorious. That is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. The body is put in the grave, put in the ground. Paul says, it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Paul used the illustration of the seed and the plant. The plant is essentially the same as the seed. You don't put a tomato seed in the ground and get a radish plant coming out. The plant is essentially the same as the seed, but the plant is much more glorious. And Paul says it'd be like that with our resurrection bodies. Essentially the same, but much, much more glorious. A lady once asked C.H. Spurgeon, the famous preacher, "Mr. Spurgeon, will you recognize me in heaven?" And he replied, "My dear woman, I shall not be a greater fool then than I am now. I recognize you now. I'll certainly recognize you there." So there is essentially the same body, but much, much more glorious. That's the sort of bodies we'll have when they're raised from the dead. Next question. When will this happen? When will this happen? The Bible doesn't give us an exact date or time. But it does tell us that this will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. As you will know, Jesus Christ is coming again in power and great glory. He came the first time 2,000 years ago and suffered and bled and died upon the cross and then rose again. And he did all of that to secure our eternal salvation. But he's coming again one day as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He himself said, "I will come again." None of us knows when that will be. We don't know the date. We don't know the time. But he is surely coming. My friend, you may not be a Christian. You may laugh at the whole idea of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may dismiss him, have no time for him whatsoever. You may say, "Oh, that is rubbish." But it doesn't really matter what you think about that. In this sense, it's what the Lord Jesus Christ has said that matters. And he has said, "I'm coming again." And the Bible says, every knee will bow before him. And every eye will see him. And those who spend their lives denying him will suddenly realize what fools they've been. But then it will be too late. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again with power and great glory. And when he comes again, he will raise our bodies from the dead. That will happen. When he returns to this world in power and great glory, the bodies of believers will be raised from the dead. You say, "I've got a problem. Suppose I'm still alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again." You've told us that when he comes again, he'll raise the bodies of believers who have died. But suppose I'm still alive when he comes again. Well, don't worry, my friend. The Bible tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, the bodies of believers who are still alive and remain will be changed in a moment by a mighty miracle of God. Paul deals with this in 1 Corinthians 15. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed." So if you're still alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, it doesn't matter. You won't miss out. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord will change your mortal body to be ready for all eternity. That's the teaching of the Bible about the resurrection of the dead. But says someone, how can we be sure about all this? You're stating it so dogmatically that our bodies will be raised from the dead. How can we be so sure? I remember once taking a funeral service of a man and speaking about the resurrection of the body. And afterwards, his son came to me and said to me, "Do you really believe all that nonsense about the resurrection of the body?" Well, the answer is, yeah, I believe it absolutely. I couldn't be more convinced. Why, you say? How can you be so sure? First of all, because we have the promise of God's word here in Romans 8, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, John chapter 5, Acts 24, Job 19, Daniel 12, the promise of God many, many times. But here it is in Romans 8, verse 11. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. It's a promise of God. Secondly, we can be sure of this because of the resurrection of God's Son. The promise of God's word and the resurrection of God's Son. Christ's body was raised from the dead. That is mentioned twice here in this 11th verse. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. The modernist, the atheist, tries to tell us that the resurrection of the body is unthinkable. Nonsense. Can never happen. Can never happen. The answer is, it has happened in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. His body was raised. And that guarantees that our bodies will be raised one day. Thirdly, we can be certain of this because of the power of God's hand. The unbeliever laughs at the whole idea of the resurrection of the body. He thinks it's mad, impossible. But that's because he's ignorant entirely of the power of God. God is almighty. God is all-powerful. God can do the impossible. And he can raise our bodies from the dead. The God who created our bodies in the very beginning can surely bring all the particles together again to raise our bodies from the dead. Fourthly, we can be sure about this because of the presence of God's Spirit. The Christian's body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Paul mentioned that twice in this verse. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Twice. We're reminded here that the Holy Spirit dwells within believers. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Well, do you imagine, can you really think that God will allow this temple of his Holy Spirit to die and to be buried and to rot in the ground and disintegrate and then nothing? Do you think that that is the way that God will treat a temple of his Holy Spirit? Annihilation. The fact that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit prove to us that they will be raised from the dead. Can I give you one more reason why I'm so sure that our bodies will be raised? The promise of God's word, the resurrection of God's Son, the power of God's arm, the presence of God's Spirit, and also because of the honor of God's name. What do I mean? His honor and his glory are at stake. What I mean is this. In the very beginning, the original man and woman were perfect in every way, in body as well as soul. But then sin came in, and Adam and Eve fell. The devil marred God's creation. The first man and the first woman were the pinnacle of God's creation. And the devil came in and marred God's work. And as a result, our bodies are weak and sick and mortal and they die. So I argue, for the sake of the honor of his name, God must restore our bodies to their original perfection and immortality. If God doesn't restore our bodies to their original perfection and immortality, then the devil has gained at least a partial victory. That can never be. For the sake of the honor of his name, God must raise our bodies from the dead and restore them to their original perfection and immortality. So at the end of time, if you're a Christian, God will raise your body from the dead. And it will be a perfect body, as fit and strong as can be, in the presence of God for all eternity in that eternal kingdom. What a hope. What a hope. We will not spend eternity floating around as disembodied spirits in some ethereal realm. That's not Christianity. That's Buddhism, if that. We will not spend eternity just floating around as disembodied spirits in a kind of eternal nothingness. Our bodies will be raised, and body and soul, we shall spend eternity in the presence of our Lord, serving him and living for him and praising him and working for him throughout all eternity. What effect should this have upon us? Well, it should thrill us and move us. It should comfort us amid our sorrows. And it should make us careful how we live. Listen to what Paul says. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What Paul is saying is this. If your body has such a glorious future in God's eternal realm, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you now, and if God will raise the temple of the Holy Spirit to be with him in glory, surely that means that you must be very careful how you live in this world. Be careful where your legs take you. Be careful what your hands do. Be careful what your lips say. Be careful what your eyes see. Be careful what your ears hear. If your body, now the temple of the Holy Spirit, has got this glorious future, then be careful how you live in this world. But the final question, my friend, are you a Christian? This hope is only for Christians. If you're not a Christian, if you have no time for the Lord Jesus Christ, make no mistake, your body will be raised too. This idea that when I die, I'm dead, that's it. Curtains, full stop. That's nonsense. No such thing as an annihilation. If you're not a Christian, your body too will be raised. Jesus said so. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will be raised. Some to eternal life. Others to eternal condemnation in hell. But my friend, if you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ today, and confess your sin to him and plead with him to save you, you'll have this glorious future that we've been describing this morning.